right, so at this time what I'd like to do is welcome Attorney Griggs.
Thank you for having me, Valerie. It's always a pleasure to be with you and the judge.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. How are you feeling?
I feel good. It's Friday, so, you know, it's the beginning of the weekend. It's always a good time.
How's the weather there? Judge is actually without power and has been for, I think, almost 48 hours now. Super cold. it's hot here where I'm at, but how's your weather?
Well, it's slightly cold here in Atlanta. It's been raining most of the day. So it's February, so it's slightly cold.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. So I know we've only got you for about 30 minutes, so I'm going to jump right into it. I want to play something, and then I'm going to let you take it from there based on, the insights featured in the audio clip. The audio clip, guys, is about 2.5 minutes long, so please grab your non-alcoholic libations, pen and paper, and prepare to take notes. Here we go.
Well, the parents of a teen shot and killed by police filed a record-breaking lawsuit. Vincent Truitt's family wants $150 million from Cobb County and the officer who killed the 17-year-old. Rebecca Schramm just speaking with the family of and their attorneys about what's believed to be the largest wrongful death lawsuit in state history. Rebecca.
Karen, the family just gathered here in Tucker at the law firm of one of the attorneys to announce the lawsuit. They're hoping a federal jury will hold the officer accountable, something they say Cobb County failed to do.
It says, "Why did you shoot me?" Those are the last words of my son. My son was unjustly shot in the back by a Cobb County police officer named Max Carneal.
I'll never hear his voice again. I'll never see his face again. In what world do you just shoot a kid in the back and get away with it?
It was July of 2020 when 17-year-old Vincent Truitt and two other teenagers in a stolen car led police on a chase near Six Flags that ended behind a warehouse on Riverside Parkway. Body cam video showed Truitt appeared to have a gun when he jumped out of the car. As he ran, a Cobb County police officer shot him twice in the back. A gun was found after he fell. A grand jury later determined the officer followed his training regarding the use of deadly force on a felon with a weapon who poses a danger to the public. The officer was not charged criminally for Truitt's death. Since then, the family has been demanding a federal investigation.
I am disgusted in the way Cobb County has handled Vince's murder.
Truitt's parents hope this $150 million civil suit in federal court ends with a jury siding with them, agreeing that the shooting was a violation of their son's constitutional rights.
We believe that a figure that high will send a message to never, ever do this again, to reform your system, and to hold the officers accountable for the unjustifiable killing of Vincent DeMario Truitt.
And this is a photo I took of the mother holding a plaque presented to her by an Atlanta group called PALS, which stands for Police Athletic League. She says her son played sports with that organization and volunteered for them. The Cobb County spokesman, by the way, tells us Cobb County will vigorously defend the lawsuit. Live in Tucker, Rebecca Schramm, CBS 46 News.
All right, Rebecca, we'll keep our eye on that one. Thanks.
All right, guys, so that is the end of the audio. What we're going to do is ask Attorney Griggs to fill in the blank, maybe even give us a recap. I know that that was pretty specific as to the case, but anything you'd like to add, Attorney Griggs, that will touch on, like, the original, like, before the officer was well, he was in charge, but can you just kind of take us back from the beginning, and then we'll end on holding the officer accountable and also the current status of the case?
Okay, and thank you. Again, Vincent DeMario Truitt was killed on July the 13th, 2020, when he was a passenger in a vehicle that had been reported stolen.
The driver took the police on a low-speed chase and was pit maneuvered behind a warehouse when the driver got out of the vehicle and took off running away from police. And then Vincent got out of the vehicle, took two steps away from the police with his back turned, and was shot in his back. Subsequently, the officer alleged that he was in fear for the officer that was behind him and that Vincent had a gun. We've been advocating on behalf of Vincent's family since 2 months after the shooting. They've always maintained that Vincent was not a threat, nor did he pose any imminent threat to this officer. We met with both DAs on this case and the current DA, and were promised certain outcomes that did not hold true. And so now we filed this $150 million lawsuit to hold Officer Max Carneal and the Cobb County Police Department and the Cobb County government accountable. There are a couple things in that audio that are just not true. One, Vincent was not a felon. He does not have any felony history. He was not driving the vehicle, so he's not a fleeing felon. And at best, he might have been a minor in possession of a weapon, but he never pointed that weapon nor posed any immediate threat of bodily harm or death to anyone. He was actually running in the opposite direction from all the officers, and the only person in front of him would have been the other suspect, who was taken into custody with no incident. When Vincent was shot in his back, he immediately asked the officer, "Why did you shoot me?" You can see that on the body cam. And then the officer said, "Because you pointed a gun at me." And then he says, "No, I didn't." And then he starts to succumb from his injuries. So we believe that this is a lawful shooting, an unjustifiable shooting. And in the precedent set by the Landon Nobles versus Texas, it was an Austin case that went to trial last month. A jury with similar facts in federal court found for the decedent, Mr. Nobles, in the amount of $67 million. That was a federal jury trial for civil rights violations. So we believe that this case is standing on solid legal footing. That was unjustifiably shooting. Mr. Nobles in that case also had a weapon and was shot unjustifiably. So those are the reasons why we believe that Vincent's case will be successful. We're also speaking directly to the U.S. attorney, asking the U.S. attorney to bring federal civil rights claims against this officer for the unlawful shooting of Vincent DeMario Truitt.
Just so we can be specific, what did the mother mean when she said that it was handled improperly?
She means that there were two DAs that were involved in this case. One of the district attorney lost a reelection. So the new DA that ran on a platform of progressive prosecution and holding police officers accountable made certain promises to this family while he was running. And then once he became the DA, pulled a 180, he met with the family right before he presented the case to a civil grand jury and then told the family that the grand jury recommended no action. Well, under Georgia law, in order to get an indictment against a police officer, you have to present it to a criminal grand jury with a list of potential charges, which he did not do. Then he held a press conference that and barred the family from the press conference to release the findings of the civil grand jury. The family believes they've been disrespected at every turn and lied to, and that's what the mother meant by her statements.
I know we've heard Cobb County quite a few times. We've had a plethora of attorneys on the show. Again, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this with us. And Cobb County seems to be, like, riddled with scandal. Like, I don't know what the current status is of the relationship between law enforcement and members of the community, but seems to always be, like, in a dark or gray area. Does that still remain true as it relates to the entire community, or is this an isolated case?
No, it's not an isolated case. If you remember, there was a viral video of a police officer in Cobb County a few years ago that told a motorist, "You don't have to worry, we only shoot black people in Cobb County." And then there was the case that happened at the International House of Pancakes where a man was body slammed. That happened in Cobb County. And then during the Braves victory parade, one of the players was accosted by a Cobb County police officer. So there are very serious issues with policing in Cobb County, and we've always maintained that there needs to be renewed vigor placed on their training and their intake of officers and how they handle police and citizen interaction. So we're hopeful this case will be the turning point where we can see a new Cobb. Many of the elected officials that ran and won in Cobb County ran on that platform, and we're hopeful that they will live up to their campaign promises.
Yes, thank you so much for that. So they said that they are going to hold still because they feel like the officer followed his training, and they're not going to hold him accountable because he did exactly what he was trained to do. As it relates to the lawsuit, I mean, 150, I'm trying to ask you questions that wouldn't be detrimental to the case, even though I have a gazillion questions. But so if members of the council were listening and you wanted to say something to Cobb County as it relates to how they handled this, the sensitivity of the case, and the fact that, you know, they're saying that this protocol as it relates to their training is the exact way that they're supposed to handle things, what would you say to them if they were listening to this audio?
I would say that the case law in the United States Supreme Court, Tennessee versus Garner, as well as in Georgia Supreme Court, tells you that this is not the way you handle this. If a suspect is no longer a threat of imminent deadly force and is running away, you do not get a chance to shoot them in their back. Then you also don't get a chance to tell three different falsehoods to the community. When this case first happened, Police Chief Tim Cox said that suspect fired at the officers. That wasn't true. Then he said he pointed a gun at the officers. That wasn't true. And then he said he brandished a gun at the officers. There's no such thing as brandishing a gun under Georgia law. So what I would say to the council is it's time to rethink their training. It's time to rethink their hiring practices. And it's going to be very costly if you do not. I believe this is just one of three other lawsuits that have either been filed or will be filed against Cobb County for police brutality. So I think it's time for them to live up to the campaign promises that they ran on. They said it was going to be a new Cobb, there was going to be a new day, and they were not going to have the same old issues that are happening. These same old issues are continuing to happen in Cobb County. We believe the law is on our side with Tennessee versus Garner and the new case of Mr. Landon Nobles versus the city of Austin. So I think that we stand on solid legal footing. They said they want to fight this. We're ready, willing, and able to fight this in federal court. We await their answer. We've already filed and made our claims, and we have sufficient evidence to prove everything that we're saying.
Thank you. Let me see. So you said something during the interview, and you said that you wanted to use the dollar amount to send a message. Can you expound on that? I know we heard what we heard, but anything else you'd like to say? Again, we are trying to make a statement and impact, and you know, everything that we do is purposeful. So can you expound on that comment, please?
Absolutely. The reason why the amount is what it is because a message needs to be sent to Cobb County that you cannot take a life, and no amount of money would bring Vincent DeMario Truitt back nor make his family whole. But the family believes that $150 million is sufficient to teach Cobb County to never, ever do this again. Cobb County's budget is $90 million, so they wanted to send a substantial message to not only the council, but the citizens of Cobb County, that there is a police brutality problem. There is a cover-up problem. There is an oversight problem that needs to be remedied. There needs to be substantial change within the police department. There needs to be substantial change within their training. And so this amount of money would send a strong enough message that this cannot be tolerated. You know, Cobb was a part of Freedom Summer 2020, where there were marches and protests and promises were made that have not been kept. So now it's time for police accountability, and it starts with the Vincent DeMario Truitt case.
Thank you. Now, in support of, I think that when I vetted the story today, I saw merchandise available. Is the GoFundMe still live? What are ways that people can support, and should we expect additional protests or anything that is scheduled to transpire during Black History Month, February?
Well, currently they can share Vincent's story under the hashtag Justice for Vincent Truitt or Vincent Truitt. Currently the GoFundMe is still live at Justice for Vincent Truitt. We're not selling any merchandise. People can reach out to me and get posters or shirts or whatever. The family is donating that. That's why the GoFundMe exists, so they can donate merchandise to people who want to support the cause. So they can do all those things, but currently the family is focused on the lawsuit and focused on getting in contact with the Department of Justice and making sure there's a federal investigation and federal charges. So they can also call the Northern District of Georgia's U.S. Attorney's Office and speak directly to the U.S. Attorney and ask him to open a federal civil rights investigation. But the family asked for the support of the community by sharing Vincent's story and sharing his name so that everyone knows what's happening in Cobb County.
Thank you. So any social media, any websites, link, any petitions, anything that I missed that you'd like to share with us?
If anybody wants to get involved, you just go to hashtag Vincent Truitt or go to the Instagram and Twitter, which is Justice for Vincent Truitt, on all platforms and share his story and help his family get the story out and make sure that we are calling the U.S. Attorney to make sure there's a thorough civil rights investigation would be the best way to help. And we are just appreciative. You know, there's been an outpouring of support for this family. They appreciate that. And they will continue to push forward for justice.
All right. For those people who joined late, could you give just a quick takeaway? I know it's redundant, but now we're almost at capacity. Could you just do a quick takeaway, and then I'm going to ask you a question regarding the current status of civil rights in America, being that that's part of your legacy. But could you just give them a takeaway before we move forward and capitalize on these last 10 minutes we have with you?
Sure. We're basically talking about the shooting death of Vincent DeMario Truitt. He was a 17-year-old that was gunned down unlawfully on July the 13th of 2020 in Cobb County, Georgia. He was the passenger in a vehicle that was reported stolen. That vehicle led police on a low-speed chase and was pit maneuvered. The driver exited the vehicle. Mr. Truitt, the passenger, exited the vehicle and ran, took about 2.5 steps and was shot twice in his back. He succumbed to his injuries. He was never a threat to law enforcement, never pointed a gun at law enforcement, never threatened law enforcement, and was shot. When he was shot, he immediately went to the ground, asked law enforcement, "Why did you shoot me?" They said, "Because you had a gun and you pointed at me." He said, "No, I did not," and then he succumbed to his injuries. His family has been protesting since that date. It took 6 months for them to release the body cam footage that shows all of this and proves what the family is saying. And the DA in the case, the new DA, Flynn Brody, presented the case to a civil grand jury, which returned a decision of no recommendations for additional charges. And so the family has been seeking federal investigation and has filed a $150 million federal lawsuit for the violation of Vincent DeMario Truitt's civil rights. We believe that that's an amount sufficient to punish Cobb County and to teach them that they need to train and hire better officers. And we also believe that based on the case that came out of Austin, Texas about a month ago, it's sufficient, as that jury on a civil rights case with an individual that had a gun returned a verdict of $67 million. So we want to send a message to Cobb County and the rest of the state that there's an issue of police brutality in this state that needs to be addressed, and the way to address it is police accountability through the court system. So we hope for any help that any of the community can be by elevating this story and continuing to say Vincent's name. to go to the website and the social media Justice for Vincent Truitt, share the information, and help us get a full, thorough federal investigation, because state-level officials don't seem to be interested in seeking justice.
Thank you. Again, we are live with Gerald A. Griggs. His website is exactly that, GeraldAGriggs.com. Please visit the site, show some support, peruse it, learn more about him and all of his current activities. He's also very active on social media. I think that judge is in the building. I'm getting ready to check, but God, this alarm system gets on my nerves. While I do that, I want to read something to you, Attorney Griggs. I always love, absolutely love to pick your brain. But this involves all of us, of course. When I looked up the current status of civil rights as of 2022, this still rings loud. Poverty, unemployment, voting rights, and racial disparities in education are still issues today as they were for those who marched for freedom in 1963. Today, the mass incarceration of blacks add to that burden and continues to increase. They list a plethora of reasons why we still need a civil rights movement. It's Black History Month. Anything that you'd like to say in regards to either the month and or civil rights before we bring in Judge to spend the last or so minutes with you?
Yes, I just think that we're in the continuation of the movement from the 60s. We are now in the social justice movement. We have to continue to fight the same way our foreparents fought. We cannot allow ourselves to go back on the issues of voting rights, on the issues of police brutality, and all the things that Dr. King and so many others were marching to lead us forward. It's our time to pick up the baton and push forward. It does seem dark and bleak, but it always seemed dark and bleak for our ancestors, and they continue to push forward. I think we will be successful. I think this generation is more well-equipped, has more tools, has the power of the internet, and the power of our collective resolve to not go backward one step. So I'm enthused by the battle, and I believe that we will be successful. It starts with us. We cannot complain about the fact that it seems as though we have not progressed as far as we would like. But we have to remember that our foreparents fought for us to get to this point. We have to fight to make sure our descendants have the same rights we have and more.
So I'm about to open up Judge Joe Brown's line. I want to give you a final opportunity for any other promotions. I know that you were involved in the Families versus R. Kelly. And I know you've always got something going on. Anything else in addition to Justice for Vincent Truitt that you'd like to address and or bring attention to before I open up Judge's mic?
Okay, I'm just focused on getting justice. I've been doing this for 17 years and fighting some of the biggest battles in the world, whether that's holding Mr. Robert Sylvester Kelly accountable or dealing with the case down in Brunswick, Georgia, with Ahmaud Arbery in partnership with the Georgia NAACP. So, you know, we just have to continue to press forward. We have to use the resolve and the will that we've been given from our foreparents and make sure that we don't take one step back. So I will continue to do that, but currently I'm focused on justice for Vincent Truitt.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much. All right, Judge Joe Brown, welcome, welcome. He's got about 5 minutes. And then we're going to shift gears, bring in Maj Touré. But, Judge, you are live with Attorney Gerald Griggs, friend of the show.
I got that. Well, hello, Attorney. How you doing? Let me make a suggestion to you. Call Attorney Willie Gary, who's semi-retired down in Boca Raton, Florida. 1984, he finalized the jury verdict, which is the largest in the history of American jurisprudence that stood up on appeal. He's a black man, and he's got 4 or 5 of the 10 largest verdicts in history. The biggest one that went over his was Juan Valdez, but it got overturned. He got $780 million back in 1984. basically for the abuse of bodies by a funeral home chain. Now, I don't buy into crap that the civil rights movement did other than give some publicity and ability for people to assuage guilt along the lines of those who contribute to the ASPCA, the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, those who don't want some dog being mistreated during the winter. And the theory for civil rights for the first 50 years of the last century was simple. You went under the SPCA laws, and the theory was if you couldn't do it to a dog, you couldn't do it to a Negro. But aside from that, let me give you a concrete example. This jackass, Joe Biden, says he wants to appoint a black woman to the U.S. Supreme Court. One of the people on his short list is a graduate of UCLA Law School. It's my alma mater as well. Now, when I got in UCLA Law School, we had done some things to open the doors up the 2-3 years proceeding for black law students, and they had nothing to do with peaceful demonstration. One professor got his car blown up. Two of them got sent to the hospital, and Dean Murray Schwartz got a .357 Magnum Python put to his head by one of the now-deceased graduates, who was a judge eventually, before he passed on. And he was threatened with having his brains blown out if he did not go along and honor an agreement we had made with him to let in more black law students. Directly as a result of that particular non-violent moment, we got in a number of black law students, one of whom turned out to be someone that's apparently on a short list for the U.S. Supreme Court. So I didn't see crap that peaceful nonviolence got for that adventure. When I got to UCLA as a freshman, some 5 years prior to that, we had 62,000 full-time students. We had 72 full-time black American students, including the 16 who were admitted in 1965, and that included me, and 73 full-time black grad students for a total of 145 out of 62,000. We blew some things up, beat some people up, kicked some ass, did some damage, took some buildings over, not peacefully, and we wound up for 66-67 getting a commitment to get 250 black students in, and then for the following year, another 250. And unfortunately, for the following year, the 250 included too many Barack Obama types who we had some troubles with, who said, brothers, it's not that we don't appreciate what you've done for us and all the sacrifices you've made, but we can't afford to jeopardize our careers. You'll have to go on without us. But we'll be there in spirit. And one of them we drug, and I remember he had on some gray slacks, and he pissed himself. He got so scared you could see the urine going down his left pant leg and a puddle in his left shoe. But in later years, he wanted to talk about the black militant experience as an expert, and he was a consultant to 3 U.S. presidents. I told him I owed him an ass-whipping until the day he died, but he died a few years ago, so he escaped that. Anyway, I was not too impressed with nonviolence because I looked at it as a method of assuaging somebody else's guilt, and when you're down on your knees praying while a redneck is beating you across the head, that's not a struggle, that's getting your ass whipped. And a lot of my father's generation who were in World War II, some in Korea and some real older ones, I thought, who had been in World War I, said they weren't being nonviolent because they put their lives on the line. They were trying to kill and risking being killed, and if somebody raised a hand to them, they might not bring it back. Now, that said, I would suggest that you consult with Mr. Willie Gary or some of that ilk. Gary is 74 this year, and he's quite an impressive individual, and he might give you some clues because, in my opinion, the settlements that have been garnered for most of these so-called modern civil rights cases involving police killings are very much on the low side. But that said, good luck, and be able to explain to the community how there is an overall impact that in affects them, and don't forget the political aspects. Now, that was a lecture, but I've been doing this for 50 years, so there we go with that. And I just don't like this nonviolent myth of bullshit. And that's how I call it. So we need to clean that up, and black folk need to stand up, buck up, get up, suck it up, and push back. All right? That's my personal opinion. I'm an old man. What do I mean? What do I matter? All right. So good luck, counselor.
Well, I appreciate that, Judge. I will speak to Counselor Gary, and I will also speak to my mentor, Fred Gray. And we will have those needed conversations. I do agree with you that the settlements have been on the very low end, which is why we don't plan on settling this case. We plan on taking it to trial.
Go to trial. Good. Somebody needs to take something to trial. And one other thing, too, in terms of what your goal is, find out what the upper limit of liability is for the municipality's liability insurance policy. You might be surprised.
Okay, I'll definitely do that.
And push for a considerable bit over what their liability coverage is. Not every municipality has it, because some of them stupidly rely upon sovereign immunity, which doesn't always shield them from such things, but some do. So do a little investigation on that, and you might get somewhere with it. Just a suggestion. I'm just old.
I appreciate it. I appreciate
all right.
That suggestion. I'll definitely do that. Thank you for having me on the platform.
Yes, sir.
Thank
anything
you, Attorney Griggs, before you go, yeah,
you
definitely
go.
Shout out any social media again.
Yeah, again, I'm thankful to the judge for the opportunity to speak. I do respect 50 years of service to the community, so I take all the advice to heart. If anybody wants to follow me or get involved, you follow me at Attorney Griggs on all social platforms or www.geraldagriggs.com. And please uplift the family of Vincent DeMario Truitt on all social media. Justice for Vincent Truitt. Thank you, Judge.
All right, young man. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great rest of the day and a wonderful weekend. We'll talk soon.
I will. Thank you. You as well.
I hope you're enjoying this big exclusive via the Judge Show Brown Show. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Now, back to the show.
This show is sponsored by the Hurricane Report, merchandise, and more.